When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey, friends, welcome to the podcast. I am glad you're here. We have Ann Voskamp back for the second week, and she is such a delight. It has been so much fun to have these conversations with her and talk about the hard things in our faith and the incredible things in our faith and just what Jesus has done for us. And so we have Holy Week this week, obviously, and I've been working through her new book. It's called Love to Life, a 40-day pilgrimage with Love Himself that will change your life. And this is an amazing book. I encourage you to grab a copy. It would be amazing to start it the Monday after Easter. It's not something that has to happen going into Easter, but it's just relevant year round. So it's really great. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed this time with Anne. And so we're going to have our second conversation with her. Again, if you missed last week, go back and listen. But before we get there, I wanted to read from Matthew 28 with you. And I realize this is Holy Week and I'm a little ahead because I'm going to read about the passage where Jesus has risen. I'm going to read that passage to us today, but I don't know that we can hear this too many times, and it's the hope we have in our faith and the promise that is coming on Easter Sunday. So let me read us Matthew 28, 1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you so.'" What beautiful, beautiful words and incredible promise for our lives. And I'm just so grateful for that, as I know you are too. And so I hope that you are taking time this Holy Week to slow down and spend some time in God's Word and enjoy these few minutes with Ann Voskamp. Here we go. And it's a little shocking to everyone, myself included, that you were willing to do 2 weeks after I really laid it all out there in the first one with the bell tower and everything else.
Well, actually, I just to be really honest with you, Cynthia, mm-hmm. I have sent a real estate agent to stalk your community so that I get to just become a full-time neighbor with you, okay?
I told you when we were in Nashville, we were going to be best friends, and then I felt like it might have taken a turn where you've wanted security. But nonetheless, I've decided we are, so it's fine, everybody.
I think, you know what, was it J.K. Chesterton says that the great secret of Christianity is the joy that we have, and we shouldn't go ahead and keep that secret to ourselves. And I think you embody that maybe better than anybody I know, Cynthia.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. You're sweet. You're precious. I don't know what to say to this, except I have to say something. Now you've been so nice. I feel like I can't say it, but I'm going to, Anne. If gathering a few years ago, I'm sitting and I don't know why I'm on the front row. Everybody, by the way, I have no idea. I didn't speak. I wasn't asked to speak. I'm sure they didn't even know I was there, but I happened to be like on the first or second row because of a friend. It doesn't matter. And Anne Voskamp walks out with a lamb or a sheep, but I'm actually not sure. Is there a difference between a lamb and a sheep? Yes, I don't even know.
A lamb would be, well, we would call it a yearling. So a lamb would be at least 8 weeks before they're weaned. Anything under 6 months would be a lamb. Otherwise, you're going to start talking like it's a yearling or a sheep that is post 1 year old. So I walked out with a little lamb that would have been like under 8 weeks old. That lamb was still nursing.
Oh, it was I'm glad it didn't try to like, you know, how like newborns, when you hold a newborn and they kind of, what's that? When they try to like lean in towards you and you're like, I'm not your mother. Well,
the sweet shepherdess who brought that lamb, so kind, she was really concerned about how that the mother of that lamb was going to manage with her taking that lamb to me to carry onto the stage.
Oh yeah.
She told me when she got back home that I don't think I've ever shared this before, that you, mama, had destroyed the barn, got out of her stall, bawling, looking for her baby lamb. So she was desperate. And then we didn't have that lamb. It wasn't even an hour and a half that we had that lamb, but she was desperate for her baby to get back to her. Isn't that a beautiful picture?
Of, I was like, just saying, that'll preach.
Yeah, right? How desperate our Abba Father, our good shepherd is for us, leaves the 99 for the one, destroys the barn and the stall, looking for the one who is lost.
Oh, that's so good. You should write that, Anne. Or maybe you did and I didn't get to that page.
But... you heard it here first. I've never actually shared that.
Okay, let's do that. And then when you write it up, I'd like you to put via Cynthia Yanoff. It's fine.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, but here, I do have a question, because you have lamb or sheep or you have something, a lot of those in your parts, correct?
Yes. Currently, my little flock is at 23. So I have 8. I keep them really close. I love nothing more. You know, some people, you know, they want their house to be like sit by the mountains or next to the ocean, because that's really beautiful, a beautiful view for them. For me, I have outside of my, like, our windows all face out. I brought all my sheep right up there so I can watch my sheep all of the time. And it's a picture of the good shepherd who always wants to see exactly. I'm constantly looking, going, wait, is everybody okay out there? Now and then I open the back door and yell, hey, Crown, Jewel, are you okay out there? Because they look like they're sleeping, like they might be sick or dead. And I need them to like wave. Okay, no, great, you're fine. The good shepherd never sleeps nor slumber. He never sleeps. Has his eye upon us. So I
love that.
My sheep are not for profit. They're not for the dinner table. I truly have those 23 sheep because I just love their presence, which is such a picture of Jesus. He doesn't want anything from us. He is the God who is, Emmanuel, I am the God who is with you. He is the God who just, the shepherd who just wants to be with his sheep. I get no greater joy. Literally, Cynthia, they are my happy place. When I am spoken somewhere and I get in the plane and I come home and I drive the 2 hours back to the farm, I will often text my husband and say, hey, I should be home. This should be my ETA. But if you can't find me in the house, I am out with the sheep. Like, I'll park the vehicle, I'll immediately go to be with the sheep.
To be with your sheep. And no one would dare call Anne Voskamp a crazy sheep lady.
No, but please do.
No, but what I do love about this is in our last episode, you talked about like where we look is where we love, what we love. And putting these visuals in place that remind us of what we're to love. And like, you've got this living, breathing, borderline obsessive. I'm kidding, Anne, but you've got this whole visual going. And so let's talk about that for a second. You know, obviously we mentioned earlier in our last show about, you know, the Lamb of God, but also all throughout the Bible, talking about how he leaves the 99 for the one, talks about sheep, all the things. Like, what do you now know? And I've heard you beautifully put this before, like that maybe that analogy doesn't resonate with most of us, but it does with you. And so what do we know about Jesus by knowing of lamb and sheep? Is sheep's a positive? I think I just said sheep's. I'm sorry,
sheep,
Anne.
It's like deer. Like, it's like
this one. Okay.
Right. There you go.
Speak on about the sheep.
I think, you know, this winter, I live way up north. It was the coldest winter, and the snowfall broke all kinds of records. And I literally would stay up till midnight so that I could go out and check on the sheep and then set my alarm for 3:30 in the morning so I could again go out to make sure the sheep were warm enough. And just standing there under all of the stars and so cold and think, you know what? Jesus never sleeps nor slumbers to make sure I'm okay. I don't know if you wear what your stories like right now. Maybe there's someone in your family, you're thinking, you know what, I don't know where they are or how their life is unfolding right now. And I wish I was with them. And I wish I was always watching over them. When I'm the mom of 7, and where are my kids at? And how is it? And to think that Jesus he's the good shepherd who loves my children even more than I love them. He doesn't sleep nor slumber. He is watching over them. And you know what, for me, when I go out there and I feed the sheep and I muck the sheep and I bring out new hay for the sheep and I grain the sheep and I carry pails of water in the winter to water the sheep, like, it is a joy for me to serve those sheep and to be in their presence. They don't have to do anything for me. I just want to be with them. And I think of Jesus who laid down his life for the sheep, because why? He wants to restore relationship with us. And for Jesus doesn't come and out of duty, because like Jesus, for God so could hardly bear your presence that he dragged himself to the cross. No, for God so loved you, mm-hmm. he laid down his life because he wants to be restored to you. And I just, you know, thinking about, I think one of the great preachers of all times was Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon says that in Latin, the word for money is akin to the word sheep, because for the first Romans, wool was their wealth and their fortunes lay in their flocks, is what Spurgeon says, which is like the Lord is our shepherd and we are his wealth. When we are the lambs, the people of his flock, can you it's completely paradigm shifting to realize like we are his wealth. We are his treasure, that we are of such incalculable worth to Jesus that he gives his incalculably worthy life for us. And when wolves come to kill, steal, and destroy his sheep, Jesus, the good shepherd, he actually becomes a lamb and offers himself and was led like a lamb to the slaughter. So when we think about, you know, wolves may circle us, but Jesus becomes the lamb instead of you to protect you. So like a pack of hopelessness may stalk, but Jesus lays down as a lamb for us to preserve us. Jesus dies and gives his heart for us so that our heart can beat on forever. So I'm really grateful to have a little flock of sheep, but I really to understand that we are Jesus' flock, the treasure of his heart has completely changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah. At that IF gathering, they were doing the 23rd Psalm, and you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'll never forget. And at the end, you know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And Chris Kane was up there and she gave this visual, and I won't go through that, but basically like if surely goodness and mercy are following you, like what are we worried about?
And
like,
what are we racing and striving and pacing ourselves? Mm-hmm. So the hustle. Actually, if we just slow down, his mercy and his goodness is following us, and it would catch up to us if we would be still and know that he is God. To go through this, I was talking to Pastor Derwin Gray this week. Actually, it was on our Lent series that we have every Wednesday
night. So great. Wednesday nights. Tell everybody real quick.
Every Wednesday, go ahead and pick up Love. If you go to Love to Life, just type in Love to Life Ann Voskamp, and come to that page, and you go ahead and you pick up the book, and then you just type in, give us your email, and we'll go ahead and send you the link every Wednesday night. You can catch up. You can see this at any point in time. It doesn't have to be during Lent. We save all of the previous conversations.
Some horrible guests like Priscilla Shire.
We have Priscilla Shire this week and Derwin Gray, and we've had Jenny Allen and Christine Kane and Lisa Harper. Like it's been amazing. So we have a conversation together. It's a video. And then the best part is we've invited the community gets to jump on screen with us and get to ask questions. So it's a conversation if this is a 40-day pilgrimage with Love himself, we really wanted to have a pilgrimage together and walk through this text together. But Pastor Derwin Gray was saying this week in our Wednesday Lenten conversation, our Love to Life conversation, that he every night when he gets into bed, he recites Psalms 23 to himself. I mean, to remember that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. To go ahead and be a lamb that completely relies on a good shepherd. When I'm out there hauling hay in the middle of the winter and the snow, and I'm thinking, Jesus takes care of me like this too. Like I don't have to worry about anything. The good shepherd is going to show up and provide everything that I need.
Yeah. So we're going into Easter week, and I was going to ask you this on the show for last week, but we can just stay with me here, everybody. But it's more of a Passover reference. But you know, obviously, famously, Jesus turned the tables over. You know, the money changers in the temple, and you make a reference in this book, Love to Life, that I loved about how sometimes that you know there's tables that need to be turned over in our lives, and I think we've all had it, and I think we've all felt it. We maybe didn't know that that's what it was. Sometimes when it's like life's unfair, the bottom's falling out, or why does this only happen to me? Like those are the moments where maybe a little redirection and like, I think it's maybe just some table turning in our lives, which is painful and hard, yet so loving and necessary. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, to say when our tables get overturned, that is a very tender experience. That is really painful. and to hold space for that, acknowledge that, and at the same time, embrace that all of life turns on the turn. Which way are we going to turn? And sometimes when we don't turn in directions in the trajectory that leads us closer to love himself, sometimes the Lord comes along and in his grace is, Sheldon Durkin says that it's a severe mercy. In his severe mercy, he overturns some tables to bring us back to himself. And Jesus overturning our tables may upend us, but he is worthy of turning everything over because he's making all things right in the end. And to trust that the one who fills our table with wine, the one whose table we get to feast at, to fill us with joy, he can also turn all the tables with kind of a divine turnaround to fill us with joy, to cleanse us from all that has turned us away from him, and to fill us with more of himself. And I think, you know, just to realize that when my tables, sometimes I can think, oh, this is exactly what you said, Cynthia, that this isn't fair. This is so painful. This is not the way I wanted the story to go. To pause and say, Jesus, you have the authority to do this because your great glory and my great good are Jesus' greatest priorities. So that when those tables are overturned, what he is doing, he is turning my heart's affections towards him. When he is turning over those tables, he's asking me, can I go ahead and turn over all the things in my life to him? Can it be this way of untethering me from the things of this world? We still talked about in our last great podcast, Cynthia, where we kind of just unpacked, what does it look like to loosen our grip on the things of this world? When Jesus overturns our tables, what he is doing is turning our heart's affections towards him so that all of our treasures are being stored up in heaven as opposed to here on earth.
And I think that's such a critical thing to consider in your life along, like looking back and looking forward. I remember a time in my life where I'd be like, gosh, I kind of want to shelter some of the hard things we're facing because I don't want people to think that my God isn't good enough or big enough or strong enough or, you know, especially people that were close to us that are not believers in my husband's family. I'm like, man, we better hold this in because they're going to be like, well, if that's how God protects you, I don't. But then you think about this and you think about this idea of that he's just good enough to turn over some tables, to expose some idols, right? All the things.
First of all, that is incredibly insightful, Cynthia, to really think about. Like sometimes we think we have to be PR for Jesus, right? And not share how difficult this particular season is because people think, wow, God actually isn't really that good. In the midst, I think I shared a bit in the last podcast that my son and his wife's house burnt to the ground in the middle of Lent. We've been literally sitting on an ash heap. But you know, my son prayed that first night, the day of the fire. He said, you know, Lord, Aurora and I now have nothing left here on earth, just the clothes on our backs, Lord. But thank you for giving us the gift of seeing that only what's done for Jesus will last. Can we see that, like, we're given the gift of, like, literally we come into this world with nothing and we will leave with nothing. But can we sometimes when Jesus turns those tables over, it's giving us a gift of saying, wait a second, you've been holding on to the things of this world as opposed to saying like, no, only what's done for Jesus will last. Only treasures we've stored up in heaven are actually worthy of our lives. Sometimes when Jesus overturns the tables, it can be this overturning of our priorities. Go, oh, wait, I had some idols. I had some things in my life. Or I had an idol of expectations of how the story would actually go. And then to actually say, no, in the midst of the ash heap, when we've lost everything, we've gained a perspective of seeing that Jesus is worthy. I don't want to protect Jesus. Be PR for Jesus in this sense. I want to say, actually, God was so good to me. He loosened my grip on the things of this world so that I could say only what's done for Jesus will ultimately last. And I said to Levi multiple times here in Lent, going, oh, I'm so grateful that we get to steward this story to realize, wait, Lord, in the end, will my faith survive fire? In the end, all of this goes up in flames. I want to store up treasure in heaven. Turn over the tables, Lord, so that my heart can be turned to you.
That's beautiful and hard and everything.
And not in the middle of it. Cliche. Yeah. It's like really hard to actually live these things. But you also realize, wait, when I am walking through the deepest, darkest valley, I'm actually being given the gift of the sacrifice of praise to him in this valley. When we get to heaven, we are going to get to praise him for all of eternity. And what is the sacrifice involved in that? But right now, when you walk through the valley, it is a sacrifice of praise that it costs you something to get to say, Jesus is worthy of my praise. He is so good. Mm-hmm. He actually, in the midst of this valley, I get to say, Jesus is actually worthy of everything because I'm seeing how little the things of this world are actually worth.
Totally. And you know, the thing is, it's scary, but true. And it sounds cliche, but if you've been through it, which a lot of us have, on the other side of it, you kind of find yourself saying, I kind of want to pray it again. Like whatever else it is, Lord, turn it over, like turn the table, burn down the house, metaphorically speaking. Right.
But on, like, I mean, you can, on the outside, you go, oh, come on, you can't really mean that. Mm-hmm. And we're also afraid to pray those kinds of prayers because we know that they're painful, but we also know that that deep, dark valley is actually a door to access the heart of God in a way that you can't access any other way. Like you actually have to go through those valleys to experience him and know him and become shaped and formed more like him. You can only do that through those valleys. So no, we want to, my goodness, do we want to avoid the valleys?
For sure.
And the suffering? 100%. But we also, if we want to become more like Jesus, he's the suffering savior, we can only become more like him through those valleys and trials of suffering.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my last question for you, because I want to keep you on schedule, but as we're going to have Easter and we're going to celebrate Easter well, all of us, and then it's going to be Monday after Easter. And we talked a little bit about this at the beginning, and I love that we talked about this love to life, this 40-day pilgrimage. I mean, start it the day after Easter. My goodness, start it in July 4th. Yes. Do whatever you need to do, people. Pilgrimage well. I don't even know if pilgrimage is a word. I think I said it right.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Just what you said right there, pilgrimage well. All of your life is a pilgrimage, going home to Jesus. You can go ahead and pick this book up. All we want you to do is keep company with the way himself, who is leading us home.
Right. Absolutely. And so let's end with this. As we move towards Easter and we celebrate Easter, what does Monday look like because of Sunday? I mean, I think we all have ideas, but what does a Monday look like because we just had that Sunday?
That's the question. I mean, that's just a brilliant question, because we all have Resurrection Sunday and then Monday. Does any of this really mean anything? Does this, any of this really actually matter or change anything? And I think to realize, like, come because of what happens on Resurrection Sunday, on Monday morning, the sun turns differently now. The world spins differently now. The soil over graves and our sorrow and our suffering, it all turns differently now. And please, Lord, make my eyes turn differently now. Make my heart beat differently now. Because the reality is, Resurrection Sunday changes all of reality. Like it literally, because of the revolution of that stone being turned, the world turns differently now. Like the revolution has already begun. The new kingdom is being ushered in. So for our family personally, we go ahead and we have a Lenten wreath that sits on our table that is marking the 40 days so that we're preparing our hearts for Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday and that empty tomb. But then, to be honest with you, Cynthia, I do not put that wreath away. I go ahead and mark out, I want to keep company with Jesus and keep moving a candle ahead for another 50 days to move myself towards Pentecost and the ascension. I want to be the rising people. I want what happens on Resurrection Sunday to make a difference on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday. Because the truth is, because Jesus came out of that tomb, this is now our Lazarus moment too. What was making us dead is now dead to us. What was suffocating and strangling us is now finished for us. We get to fold up, just like Jesus folded up the grave clothes before he walked out of the tomb. We get to fold up whatever has been shrouding us and suffocating us and tangling us up too, and we get to walk out too. And the point is, we get to lay our skeletons down and we get to leave. And because the tomb is empty, our hope is not empty. And because the tomb is empty, we now get to live fulfilled. And because of the resurrection, we are no longer people of death and dying. We are no longer people of this realm. We get to be the rising people. That means we get to get up every single morning and say, the new kingdom is being ushered in, and I want to claim allegiance to the King of Kings. Allegiance literally means to proclaim not only loyalty to him, but to the king, but to lean our whole lives up against him. So what does it look like to get out of bed on Monday morning and say, Jesus, I'm going to pledge allegiance to you. I'm going to lean everything up on you. I'm going to trust you for everything. I'm going to be on pilgrimage with you past the empty tomb and keep walking with you. What does it look like on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday to be a rising people to say, Jesus, you have kept me through everything. I now want to keep company with you until I am home with you to see you face to face.
Okay. I want you to know that I'm listening to every word you're saying. I'm taking in it. And I'm so desperately also on the side trying to get Bell Tower to play because I thought how great it was. Dung, 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 dung. But you know, I'm not technologically savvy enough to pull that off, Anne.
I love the idea. Can you see all? Can you see all the interruptions in your life? Yes. All the alarms, all the unexpected things as actually bell towers that are beckoning you into the presence of the Lord, that there are actually no interruptions in our lives, but they're actually the manifestations of Christ coming to meet us to say, come, be with me in this moment of interruption. It's all a bell tower inviting you to come keep company with the one who is resurrecting us moment by moment.
Oof. Well, that's all you guys needed to know for Easter. Put that on replay about 12 times over. I'm going to end us with another quote from Anne's book, Love to Life. And it's this, and this is kind of maybe a prayer for us at Easter. Because of the resurrection, we are no longer people of this earth. We are no longer people of death and dying.
Yes.
We are no longer people of this realm. We are now the rising people.
Wow.
We are people of the real kingdom. We are people on pilgrimage with his presence. We are people of resurrection life, living in the very life of Christ himself.
Wow.
Amen.
I want to keep living in life himself. If we want life to the full, how do we go ahead and have a way of life, a rhythm of life, a cadence on our pilgrimage that keeps pace with God, keeps pace with Christ, so that our hearts beat in communion with him? I want to live not just with life, but through life himself.
Same. And you draw us to the Lord every time we're best friends. You don't know it, but we're best friends. And I just want to thank you.
I'm literally waiting for the real estate agent to call and let me know there's a house just down the street to me. And if it doesn't happen, Cynthia, when we are home with the Lord, you save me a spot right next to you. Okay.
I will. I won't kick your sheep out of the way, but I'm going to need you to keep them on your side of the fence. I want to look at them. I don't want to tend to them.
No, you will. I promise you.
I'll love him.
Maybe I don't know that. Maybe we're in the presence of the Lamb himself. All we will want, our hearts will just split with love for him.
For him. Thanks, Anne.
All right, friends. What a great 2 weeks with Anne Voskamp. She is so much fun and so gracious. And be sure to check out her book, Love to Life. It would be a great one again to start on Monday after Easter. And I just pray that you have a great Holy Week, times of reflection, and that you have an amazing Easter with your family. And I'm really, really appreciative that you're part of all that we're doing here at Mesmerized. We'd love for you to share it with your friends. Would really love for you to leave a review. And you guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You are the very best.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.